All right, first thing I'm going to have you to do is I'll have everybody stand up and let the blood flow back to their legs. Because I know this morning many of you are probably out getting rid of some snow, so it's really late. So please stand up and arms out, check your arms. Oh, feel better stretching. All right, now I expect you to stay awake for the next hour. You may be seated. I'm just joking. I won't do that to you tonight. I've got another night for that. All right. Let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. I was planning on preaching a different message tonight. I had a few that I'd been praying about. And I thought, oh, this one will be good. And God had other plans. It wasn't on my tablet. So I said, well, I'll do the other one I was thinking about doing. So I've gotten into the digital age. It's a lot easier than bringing around a ton of papers and having to print another one off because you left it somewhere or your kids drew on it. So I use my tablet. It's funny, been to a lot of different places and everybody's got their, I can't turn and talk at the same time. Have you noticed that? where was I? 2 Kings. Chapter 6. Here we go. I'll get there before I continue. Been to a lot of different churches in the past. What was it? Over 25 churches in just 10 weeks? Something like that. I had more and more. See, as the preacher says, turn your Bible. You say, turn your Bible. People are getting out their tablets and their phones. And so sometimes I feel like saying, all right, take out your phones and tablets and turn on to 2 Kings chapter 6. But I don't think anybody here does that, do they? No? All right. You got one? One or two? I don't have a problem with it as long as you're not going, yes! Especially here in Maine, there's not an amen corner I found in the churches of Maine. So, you know, I'm not saying amen. All right. 2 Kings chapter 6, and we're going to start in verse 1. We're going to talk about characteristics of a willing servant. On Wednesday nights is usually your core group of people, those that are committed to the church. Now, tonight's a little bit different story because of weather, but you have a few people that would normally be here that's not here. But anyway, those that can be here are usually here. So we're going to talk about serving. What does a servant do? What are some characteristics of a servant? And we see some of these characteristics in the life of Elisha. Elisha's probably one of my favorite characters in the Bible. I think I say that about a lot of the characters in the Bible. But he's one of my however many. I enjoy learning about him and learning some of his characteristics. He's one of those characters that you read in the Bible that it's really hard to find where he's done something wrong. Now, some scriptures, some of the characters you find in the Bible, God allows you to see their error and their good. And Elisha's one of those that you see the majority of good. And he's a good example to follow. And here we're going to start in verse 1. It says, and the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. And one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he said, I will go. So he went with them, and when he came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one that was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and cried, and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick, and cast it thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore, said he, take it up to thee, and he put out his hand, and took it up. Now, we're going to continue reading, but just for the sake of time, here Elisha, the next portion of the chapter here, we see the story of the Syrian troops coming after Elisha. They're seeking to get rid of Elisha because he has been telling the king, and I just lost where I was going there, the king of Israel, where the king of Syria was going to place his troops to attack. And so the king of Syria would say, all right, we're going to go into this corner over here, this crossroads, and we're going to attack here. Well, Elisha would go and tell king of Israel, he would say, all right, the king of Syria is going to be here in such and such day. Be ready. And it didn't happen once or twice. And here the king of Syria is getting quite upset, as you can imagine. Who's doing this? Finds out that it's Elisha. And he says, all right, I'm going to go get Elisha. I'm going to stop this once and for all. We're going to get rid of Elisha. So he sends a troop to Elisha, and things don't go exactly the way they planned. And we're going to look here in this chapter how Elisha deals with people, how Elisha deals with those that he's ministering to. Now, some of you say, well, you know, I just do this in the church. I just do this little thing. I just do this little thing. Serving in church, serving God in a local church doesn't have to be big or small. It may be the ministry of making sure that the church is clean for Sunday. It may be just welcoming people as they come in. But serving God is serving people. You say, well, wait a second, I thought serving God was serving God. It is. But what is God's number one priority? People. Did God create this world for himself? In a way, yes. But did he have to create people? No. God could have had as much glory from anything. God created people, and God's word is for people. To reach people. To bring people back to himself. Not just because he wants the glory, but because it's what's best for all men. God's concern is people. And serving God is serving people. And sometimes that's difficult, isn't it? I mean, you got people like me that they're just plain weird. There are people that are, hey, no, I'm just kidding. There are people that just hard to get along with, isn't there? Just, they're right, downright cantankerous. And sometimes it's not fun to deal with. As a pastor, I'll be honest with you. There are some people that, when they come along, I say, Lord, really? Do I really have to be nice to this person? All right, Lord. I know that's bad to say, but it's true. But God still loves even the cantankerous people. And we're going to look at how Elisha dealt with different kinds of people. And in this chapter, we see five different people groups that he deals with. Now, some of them are the same people, but are acting in different ways. So first thing we're going to look at, he helps others. Second, he handles hardships. And third, he has help. So before we begin, we're going to open in prayer, and then we'll get right into it. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for the day that you've given us. Lord, I thank you that we can meet together, Lord, and that we can learn of you. Lord, I pray that you help us to open our hearts and minds to your word. Lord, help us to be the servants that we need to be. Lord, help us to meet the needs of others. Lord, help us to have the right attitude to those that you've called us to minister to. Lord, I thank you for what you're going to do. Work in us in a great way. In your name I pray. Amen. First seven verses we read already. The story is the sons of the prophets, they come to Elisha. Now, the sons of the prophets, they are basically preacher boys. They're the ones that are going to be trained to be prophets of God. They're going to learn about ministering to other people. learning about God's word. Now, the college is getting kind of, the dormitories are getting kind of narrow, kind of small, and it's time to build. Well, most of the time, these preacher boys weren't just single men. They were, a lot of them were married men. And they were, things were getting kind of tight, so it's time to build. So they say, Elisha, go with us, and we'll find a piece of property, and we're going to build. We're gonna make things bigger for us so we can do what we need to do. Well, as they're building, something happens. The axe head is they're filling trees going to the water. Now, at first thought, that doesn't seem like a big idea, big deal. Okay, you can go down to the corner store and pick up a new one. Well, they didn't have corner stores then, and they probably weren't all that cheap. And you got to remember, it's Bible college student. Now, how many of you have been in Bible college? So in Bible college, how many of you, most of the stuff that you used was on loan? Not a lot of things on loan. And those things that weren't on loan, if you lost it or broke it, well, there it goes. So here's the guy. He's working away, and then all of a sudden, the axe head goes in the water. This would be the same idea as if I borrowed Dad's chainsaw. He has a nice chainsaw, if I remember right. And I go out and start cutting away on a tree, and I blow the motor in it. So that's why you don't loan me anything, because if you loan me something, it's going to break. I don't know why. It just happens. Well, he goes to Elisha, and he says, Elisha, it's borrowed. I got to return it. And if I had the money to buy one, I would have bought my own. How am I going to replace it? And what does Elisha do? Something as simple as he stopped what he was doing to help. I don't know exactly what Elisha was doing, but I'm sure his plan for the day wasn't fishing out an axe head from the water. Now, to me, that doesn't sound like a lot of fun. But what did Elisha do? He trusted the Lord. He followed the Lord. He took a stick. It obviously wasn't his power. He had to depend upon the Lord. He threw the stick into the water, and what happened? The axe head floated. Now, I've thrown a lot of sticks in the water, and I never had metal float. So obviously he was dependent upon the Lord, and he was following what the Lord led him to do. But he took time to help these men. He took time for the faithful followers, to help those that are learning, those that are wanting to serve the Lord. He took time to help them out. And I'm sure it was more than just at this time that he helped them out. He was also their teacher. He took time to train. He took time even for the little things. Now, as servants, we need to take time to help the faithful followers. Now, that's the easy part right there, isn't it? It's a lot easier to help those that are going in the same direction, that are co-laborers with you with Christ. But we still need to do that, even in the little things. No matter how busy we are, we're to put our plans aside to help those that are around us, the faithful followers. Next, verse 8. We're going to read 8 through 11. It says, the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for these things. For this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? So if you know anything about the kings of Israel at this time, the kings of Israel were not godly men. They were not good kings. That's why they had to have a prophet. That's why they needed a man of God that depended upon the Lord, that stood for the Lord, like Elisha, because the king wasn't doing it. And here this king is quite a fool. He's not following God. He's not caring anything about God. He's serving false gods. What does Elisha do? Does he go and say, well, I hope you get what you deserve? You're not wise. You're not making the right decisions. Well, what does he do? He helps this foolish fellow. He helps this man that, does he deserve help? No, but God has a plan for him. God is still working through the king of Israel. Why? That's God, because God has chosen the people of Israel and given them a promise. But Elisha, and I'll do that many times, say Elijah. Well, I mean Elisha, so if you hear me say Elijah, I mean Elisha. So I'm sure no other preacher ever does that. But Elisha stops and he helps even the foolish people. Even those that have their own way of doing things, and it's not the right way. But he helps. He encourages them. It's funny how Elisha does it. He doesn't go and beat him over the head. Oh, you stupid, stupid king. You're going in the wrong way, fool. No, he just simply goes and says, beware that you... That way's not the best way to go. The king of Syria is going to be there. They're going to have an encampment there. Don't go there. Watch out. He doesn't correct him and try to show him how foolish he really is. He just shows them what God has told him. He simply says to the king what God has told him to tell him. Elisha wasn't a spy. Elisha didn't go out and listen in on the king of Syria's door. He was listening to who? He was listening to God. And he was saying only what God told him to say. We also see that he helped fearful followers. Verse 11. It says, therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel. Tell the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servants of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And a servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see. The Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. Behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Now, as you can imagine, putting yourself in the servant's position, he's probably the first one to wake up because he's got to get things ready for the day. He's got to get breakfast ready for his master, Elisha. He gets out, he's probably kind of groggy-eyed, he's rubbing the sleep out of his eyes, and he's got the bucket going to gather the water, and he hears a noise as he's dipping the water pail in the water, and he looks up, and there's an army all around the house. I don't know why, but I picture Barney Fife as he starts shaking and runs off. Andy! The servant runs in. He says, Elisha, we're surrounded. What are we going to do? Look at the armies. And he's afraid. And now all you can think of is Barney Fife, I'm sorry. But here's the servant. He's afraid. He's frightened. He doesn't know what to do. What does Elisha do? Does he berate him? Don't you trust God? Don't you believe God's going to take care of you? You faithless fool. No, he says, fear not. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses, chariots, fire. It's interesting. Elisha simply said, don't be afraid. God is on our side. God has got this. There's more that be with us than them. God is greater than those armies. And then he did something very important for us to do. He didn't sit there and try to convince him of this. He didn't sit there and say, hey, look around. You need to see the armies that I see. Look, just pay attention. What did he do? He went right to the Lord and said, Lord, help him to see it. Lord, open his eyes that he can see the truth. A lot of times when we see God working in a way, or God is working in our heart about something, we try to force that upon others. But the first thing we need to do is say, God, show that to them. Show them the truth that you have. Lord, help them to trust you. Lord, show them how great you are. He wanted the servant to see what he was seeing, but he knew he couldn't convince them. Only God could. So he went to the Lord and said, Lord, show them how great you are. You know, when dealing with fearful followers, those that are lacking in faith, what is fear but lack of faith? Yes, we encourage with the Word of God. We remind them of who God is. But we also pray that God would show them the truth of how strong He is, how that God is on our side. We need to help the fearful followers. Next, we need to see that we need to help the frightening foe. Verse 17. We just read, see that the mountain is full of horses and chariots of fire round about. And here is Elisha's chance. Oh boy, here's going to be a great slaughter, right? What were the chariots of fire and the horses for? To protect Elisha, wasn't it? Can you imagine what would have happened if the armies came and grabbed Elisha? What would have happened? Would have wiped him out. God would have said, not going to have this. And would God have been right to do that? Yeah, he was. It would have been right. But Elisha, he didn't say, all right, Lord, wipe them out. Here they are. They're trying to destroy me. They're coming after me. Show them who's God. Show them how much you love me and how great I am. No, verse 18, it says, and when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness, according to the word of Elisha. Elisha said unto them, this is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. But he led them to Samaria. And it came to pass, when they were coming to Samaria, that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men, that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. What did he do to for the frightening foe? He didn't say, God, bring vengeance upon them. You show them how mighty you are and destroy them. No, but he showed mercy, didn't he? It was merciful that Elisha blinded, had asked God to blind their eyes. Why? Because they weren't going to listen to Elisha, not to attack, not to bring them in. And they would have been destroyed. But Elisha knew that they needed to see God, how merciful God was and how merciful God is. He had mercy on the frightening foes. He pointed them to how great God is. Let's look at Matthew chapter 5. In verse 43. It says, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh sun to rise on evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans? Be therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. You know, when the frightening foes are against us, we need to ask for mercy upon them. Why? Because God has promised that He'll take vengeance on our behalf. We let God take care of the vengeance part, but we should also be asking that God would show mercy upon them. We should show them who God is. We should show them the truth of how God is merciful and how that they need to turn to the Lord. We need to give them a chance to repent, because God has given us a chance to repent, hasn't He? God has given us a chance to turn from evil to good, to follow Christ. We need to do the same. We also see here that not only did He help the faithful followers, the foolish fellows, the frightening foes, but He also helped the fatigued foes. Verse 20 through 23 of 2 Kings 6. And it came to pass when they were coming to Samaria that Elisha said, Lord, open their eyes of these men that they may see. The Lord opened their eyes and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. The king of Israel said unto Elisha, when he saw them, My father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? And he answered, Thou shalt not smite them. Wouldst thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and with thy bow? Set my bread and water before them, that thou may eat and drink and go to their master. And he prepared great provision for them. When they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. He didn't just show mercy. He didn't just ask God to deliver them, but he showed kindness upon them. He did something himself. He made sure that they were fed. He made sure that they had what they needed to carry on. And it's interesting, what do we see happening here? In the last part of the verse, they didn't come back. Those men didn't come back to Israel. Why? Because of a faithful servant that was concerned for all men's lives, for all men, showing them the truth of God. That is our number one priority as servants of God, as ministers of God, is to show others God. And we can't do that effectively if we're mistreating people, can we? They're not going to listen. We're to live our life as our life becometh the gospel. What does that mean? We're to live in such a way that the gospel is shown through our life. Now, does that mean that's all we have to do? No, we tell the gospel. Our actions should back up our words. The way we live should bring the conversation to the gospel. It's a lot easier to witness when people see the difference in your life and they want to know why it's different. And then you can tell them why it's different. You can give them the reason of the hope that lieth within you. We need to live in a way that our life doesn't change what people think of the gospel. People listen more with their eyes than they do with their ears. They look at your attitude. They look at your actions. And then they compare it with your words. Do they line up? And I forgot where I was going there. But we need to show kindness to those that are against us. And that's what God did for us. The Bible says we were his enemies. We're no longer enemies. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. Because we put our faith in Jesus Christ. That makes us no better than anyone else. Because it wasn't anything we did. It's what Jesus Christ did for us. And we need to be an example of Jesus Christ and how we treat those that are against us. We need to help others, even those that are against us. I'm running out of time really quick. So the last 2 points we're going to look at quickly. We see that he handles hardships. Now, we've already gone over the verses, so I won't read them again. But we can see how he handled these hardships. He handled them with confidence. We don't see in any of these where he had to wonder what to do. We don't see a pause of, oh great, how is this going to work out? How is this going to get done? Oh no. We see what? Confidence. He goes right to work when the man loses the accent. He goes right to work. All right, God's going to do something. God's going to take care of this. There's your axe head. God was already speaking to him. He was already listening to the Lord. We see when the Syrians were planning where to encamp. We don't see anywhere he's, Lord, what should I do? He was already talking to God. He was already in communication with God. Why? Because he was confident in God. He had confidence. When the Syrians were surrounding him, the army was surrounding him, he already had confidence in the Lord. He knew those chariots of fire were there because he knew God was going to protect him no matter what. There was confidence because he trusted in God. He had wisdom. He knew how to handle the situation because he was listening to his father. Where does wisdom come from? It comes from God. He had care. Those that really didn't deserve his help, he cared for, didn't he? He had concern for the welfare of those around him in the same hardships he was in. But lastly, we see that the servant of God has help. And none of these things were because Elisha was such a wonderful man. He was such a powerful person. He had great abilities. Now, all this came from God. All this came from everything he accomplished was not in his own strength. It was in the strength from God. We see that 2 Timothy 4:16 through 18 says, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me into his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Paul knew where his strength came from. It wasn't from those around him encouraging him. No, he said everybody was against him. But he knew his strength came from the Lord. Elisha knew where his strength and his ability came from. It wasn't his ability. It was God working. He knew that he had to depend upon God for strength. He had to depend on God for his wisdom. Wisdom comes from the Lord. You know, he also had a great teacher, didn't he? Who was his teacher? It was Elijah. Elijah was an example to him, and he followed that example that Elijah was. But he had another teacher as well. It wasn't just Elijah. Who was it? It was the word of the Lord. It was God that was teaching him. To be a servant of God, to be an effective servant of God, we need to help people. But we can't help people if we're not confident in our Lord, if we're not seeking Him for wisdom, if we don't show care and concern for those around us. Remember, there's not anyone that we're not supposed to help. It doesn't matter who they are, what they've done, what they might do. We need to show them the mercy of God. We need to help them in their time of need so that we can, what? Point them to God. That's the whole point of being a servant, is pointing others to God. Are you a faithful servant? Do you handle hardships with confidence, with wisdom, with care and concern? Do you depend upon the Lord for your strength, for your wisdom? Or do you brush others aside? And you're the fearful follower. You're the foolish fellow. Sometimes you might even be the foe. I pray that you're a servant. Let's close in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for the day that you've given us. Lord, I thank you that we can go to your word. We can learn from it. Lord, I thank you for the examples that you've given through Elisha. Lord, help us to have a desire to serve you, Lord, by serving others, helping those around us with the heart of concern and care. Lord, help us through the hardships to be able to be confident in you, Lord, and to have courage through your strength. Lord, help us to seek your word for wisdom. Lord, I thank you for what you're going to do. Work in us, even now. In your name I pray. Amen.